Hi, I'm Haley B. Miller, and this is Ohio Politics Explained, a podcast where you give us 15 minutes and we give you all the news you need to sound smart and impress your friends. Welcome to Ohio Politics Explained, the primary primer edition. Say that five times fast. Ohio's March 19th primary is almost here, and voters will be making decisions in some pretty important races. At the top of the ticket, of course, is the presidential primary, but we'll dig into that in another episode. For now, we're going to focus on key state races from U.S. Senate to the Ohio House. Joining me to break it all down are Laura Bischoff and Jesse Bollmert.
Hello, hello.
Greetings.
So I may be biased because I'm covering it, but I'd say Ohio's biggest election this year is the Senate race. Republicans will decide in March who takes on Senator Sherrod Brown this fall, either businessman Bernie Moreno, Secretary of State Frank LaRose, or State Senator Matt Dolan. This primary has been a little sleepy, especially compared to the 2022 Senate race, but the stakes are high. Brown is one of two Democrats fighting to keep his seat in a Trump state, and whether he wins or loses could help decide which party controls the Senate. What stands out to you guys about the Republican candidates?
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong to say that this is the top race in Ohio this year. I think we already have a pretty good idea of who's going to win the presidential primaries on both sides. So the Republican race is where it's at. And it'll be a test again of former President Donald Trump's power in the state of Ohio, whether merely having endorsed Bernie Moreno is going to be enough to, you know, put him over the edge over Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose and State Senator Matt Dolan. Obviously, that endorsement was tremendous. Helpful to J.D. Vance, who is now Ohio senator.
Yeah, I think that this is it is an interesting race. It seems like Moreno has the lead in that he's got the Trump endorsement, right? I think that kind of tips it his way. LaRose could argue he's got better name recognition, having been on the statewide ballot. Dolan is kind of the anti-Trump underdog who's trying to maybe split the Trump vote and scoot in there and get this lane that did not exist for him in 2022.
Yeah, he came in third.
It's my understanding, though, there's still a lot of undecideds in this race. So I think it could possibly break almost any way.
Yeah, the last poll that we saw, the last independent poll we saw, which was from Emerson College, had undecideds around 42%, I think, which was a pretty significant number. And again, very different than the 2022 primary, because I feel like that cycle lasted a lot longer, so voters were really tuned into it in a way that they aren't now. There's also probably some element of voter burnout right now because of the August and November elections. It's just kind of been an onslaught of politics in Ohio lately.
Doesn't it feel like it all the time, though?
Yeah, that's true. One interesting thing to me about this primary is it is a primary, so like a lot of these guys have similar positions. They're against abortion. They want to crack down on border security. They think Bidenomics is a sham, basically. But we've seen them attack each other a lot over things they've said in the past, quote, liberal positions they once maintained. There's audio of Bernie Moreno, for example, kind of mocking the idea that gun owners need high capacity magazines. He said he was like, you know, you're not going to eat a deer with 100 bullets in it, things like that. Frank LaRose arguably used to be kind of a moderate in the Ohio Senate, and now he's really changed his tune on things like voter fraud. So it's just been interesting to see how people are using their records against each other.
Yeah, and I would tell people to go look up your stories on both on all of the candidates. You did some really nice profiles on them, but in particular Moreno and LaRose and how they have kind of shifted in their positions over the years.
Yeah, and it's a situation where, of course, this is a primary, and so we're going to try to appeal to the Republican voters, since that's who is going to be making the decision in this race. But perhaps some of these more moderate or middle of the road positions will come out if they're facing off with Sherrod Brown later this year.
All right, another high stakes race in Ohio this year is the fight for state Supreme Court. Three seats are up this year, and Democrats think they have a chance to flip the court from Republican control. But first, they have to get through the primary. Democrats will choose between two appeals court judges, Terry Jamison and Lisa Forbes, to take on Republican Dan Hawkins for an open seat. Laura, what are the real differences between Forbes and Jamison?
Well, they both have pretty interesting backgrounds. Jameson ran for Supreme Court against Pat Fisher in the last cycle and lost. She argues that she has, you know, more name recognition because she was on the statewide ballot. She got into it a little bit on the late side, and I think there was some internal maneuvering. Forbes said that she really wants to run for this and that Jameson came late to the race, but whatever. Forbes got the Ohio Democratic Party endorsement. Jameson is from Franklin County, and Forbes is up from the Cleveland area. You know, I think that they're both, you know, Democrats, which that's what the Democratic Party needs, is more liberal voices on the court, which has been controlled by the Republicans, holding a majority of the seven seats since 1986. Also, this is a second cycle in which party labels are going to be on the at the end of their names on the ballot. And that didn't bode well for Democrats the last cycle. So the Democrats, you know, hope springs eternal. I think it's probably a little bit more difficult in given that they have the party labels and Ohio's trending more red. But, you know, these are key races because, you know, it's likely that the Ohio Supreme Court will decide how the new abortion rights constitutional amendment is interpreted. And, you know, they have a big impact on our lives in terms of like how much we pay in taxes, how much we pay on utility bills, what records are considered public records that we can see and how much government transparency there is, et cetera.
And on the abortion front, I mean, as far as I know, any day now, a Hamilton County judge could declare the 6-week ban unconstitutional. But there are a lot of other abortion laws on the books that will kind of need to be challenged one by one. And how those are interpreted against the new amendment is an open question at this point.
Yeah. So we have this new constitutional amendment, and it'll be up to the judges to really interpret what that means. The law that everyone has really focused on for good reason is this ban on abortions after cardiac activity is detected, sometimes called a 6-week ban, sometimes called the heartbeat bill. And this has been on hold since late 2022, and believe it'll be overturned because of the language of issue one. But we have things like waiting periods, variances, kind of like agreements you need to make with local hospitals, other bans. So ban on abortion via dilation and extraction, you know, and an instance of Down syndrome being detected. And so there's a lot of laws that Republicans have put on the books over the years, and we'll see what the courts think about them compared to this new constitutional standard.
And going back to the Supreme Court races for a second, this isn't necessarily relevant to the primary, but Republican justices are kind of doing some weird maneuvering to potentially expand their majority, right?
Well, in that, you know, Joe Dieters, the former Hamilton County prosecutor, he was appointed to the court by Mike DeWine to fill out the remainder of Sharon Kennedy's term when she was elected Chief Justice. Dieters opted to run for a full term, so that opened up a seat for Forbes, Jameson, and Hawkins to all compete for. Or, you know, Jameson or Forbes will go against Dan Hawkins, a Franklin County Common Pleas Court judge. So, I mean, there's the potential that the Republicans could gain a seat.
Interesting. All right. And then there's Congress and the State House. Two seats are open in the U.S. House this year after Republicans Brad Winstrup and Bill Johnson decided to retire. There will be a special election for Johnson's seat first because he already left Congress to take a job at Youngstown State. Now, the race to replace Winstrup in Ohio, too, is kind of a bloodbath. There are like 11 Republicans running in that primary, I think.
Yeah, it's a regular clown car of, I mean, it's just a massive number of people running. You know, you got David Taylor, who's a concrete company owner, Niraj Antani, who doesn't even live in the district. He's a state senator, guy who owns La Rosa franchise, Tim O'Hara, Larry Kidd, who is the former vice chairman of the Jackson County Republicans, and he owns a big staffing employment company. Yeah, so it kind of just goes on and on. There's a cast of almost a dozen.
And the congressman, Brad Winstrup, really hasn't endorsed in this race, hasn't indicated who he's backing. And so that just leaves this even more wide open. You're not really seeing a lot of outside money groups. And there wasn't a lot of time. He announced that he was leaving and folks didn't have a lot of time to file to run in this race. So that's how you get this kind of large hodgepodge of candidates. But our colleague Scott Wortman is doing a lot of good work breaking down the candidates and positions in this race.
They're raising a lot of money too. I mean, Taylor's got like 1.3 million, although a lot of them are loaning money to themselves.
Right. A lot of wealthier business people able to do that. And it's worth noting for those who aren't familiar with the district that this is a very Republican area. So at the risk of being cynical, the Republican primary is ultimately the race. Whoever wins that is likely going to be in Congress next year.
Yeah, there were two Democrats that declared for the race and one of them dropped out. And then the remaining candidate, Samantha Meadows, I think she only raised like $6,000.
Now, the drama isn't just in the U.S. House. Ohio House primaries have been pretty spicy thanks to infighting that began after last year's speaker election. As a reminder, 22 Republicans voted with Democrats to give Jason Stevens the job after Republicans unofficially picked Derek Marin. Jesse, how is this playing out on the campaign trail?
It's just messy and like very like a lot of aggressively dirty politics going on in the Ohio House races right now. It's in part we're fighting a war over the previous speaker's race and some folks are still quite upset about that. And then we're also kind of fighting a battle over the next speaker's race because the current Senate president, Matt Huffman, is interested in being speaker perhaps as soon as next year. And so that sets up a fight with Jason Stevens, who is the current Republican speaker in the House. And so this is affecting the campaigns, which have been, you know, very heated, kind of accusing people of being supportive of Joe Biden or opposed to Donald Trump, which of course is a bad thing in a Republican primary. But it's also affecting the operations of the state house, like what bills are getting passed, which bills are not getting passed, how we're negotiating money for local projects right now.
And aren't some of the Republicans who are trying to challenge the Stevens contingent pretty upset over how the Ohio House campaign money is being spent? I feel like I've seen some yelling about that.
Yeah. So normally House Republicans have one campaign committee that in times past folks would put money into, like the candidates would all kind of pool their money to help the people who are in the toughest races or maybe had the really challenging Democratic challenger, particularly if your primary was over or if your race was over after the primary, essentially. But all of that kind of kumbaya money culling has not been happening as of late. And this particular pot of money, the opponents of Jason Stevens are saying that Stevens is only directing this money to be used for candidates that he supports, that it's working against opponents and so forth. There's also a question. There was a lawsuit filed over that. There's also this second outstanding lawsuit about a lease that former Speaker Larry Householder made for the campaign arm and whether like the future Republican Party has to pay for that. So there's a lot.
The big takeaway is that it's very destabilized in the Ohio House. And it has been. Jesse's story noted that the House has had six different speakers over the past decade, and two of the House leaders faced FBI investigations. Larry Householder, of course, is doing 20 years in federal prison, and Cliff Rosenberger was never charged. So, you know, it's like been nonstop turmoil.
And one more thing before you go. We just threw a lot of information at you. If you want to learn more about the primary, the candidates, you can check out the voter guide on any of our websites. And you can also visit voteohio.gov to request an absentee ballot, view your sample ballot, and all sorts of other things. Ohio Politics Explained is brought to you by the USA Today Network Ohio Bureau. You can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, @OhioExplained.